This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلوات الله والسلام الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters around the world, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope everyone is doing well, inshallah. I hope that, you know, it's been a blessed Friday for you. I hope that you were able to go for Salatul Jumu'ah. I also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for every single one of us to very soon be able to return back to a normal sort of, you know, lifestyle and lifestyle in general, and a great, you know, healthy environment for the entire world sometime soon, inshallah. Ameen. Today, we're going to continue with the Friday Family Halaqa from the Islamic Community Center of Milton. And we're streaming like crazy. This is kind of interesting because I have Facebook Live here, my personal one. I have Facebook Live there, the masjid. And then I have YouTube in front of me, live for the first time, finally. And then I also have the masjid Instagram here and my personal Instagram over there. So I have five different me's right now. It's kind of weird. It kind of feels like I'm in some weird, movie or something. No big deal. It is what it is. We are going to cover verse number 275 and also probably 276 and 277, if we have time, inshallah, which we should have time, okay? So we're going to do 275, 276, and 277 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah. So for those of you who want to follow along, please feel free to do so, inshallah, okay? I'm going to begin by reciting that ayah. And for those of you that have never tuned in on the Friday at the masjid, what we typically do is, recite a few of the verses of the Quran, and then explain them, okay? We explain some of the ayat of the Quran. And so it's very simple, very, very straightforward. And, we go through it. And the Quran related to sadaqah or charity and giving in charity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I want to remind every single one of us today is that immediately after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the importance of giving in charity, He also now reminds us, بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 75 of Surah Al-Baqarah is, explaining to us the dangers of sadaqah, of riba, my mistake. The dangers of riba. I just want to check and see if this Facebook is going smoothly. I don't see the comments anywhere. And I'm wondering why that isn't working. But, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the righteous people, right? Those who gave sadaqah, those who were contributing constantly with their wealth, with sadaqat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions the dangers of dealing with riba, with dealing in interest, right? Interest and usury. Usury, which is an excessive amount of interest or fees charged to someone who you lend money to. So you lend the money and you're expecting a lot in return, right? You're expecting more in return. So you lend them a certain amount and you expect them to give you a lot more in return. So that is usury. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us how he mentions those who deal with usury in an illegal way, right? In a way that is not permitted, to acquire the money of Allah, the money that Allah has made haram for them. He says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. Those who eat riba, as in they consume it, right? That's interest. So those who consume interest, who use it, who deal with interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will not stand on the day of resurrection. On the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment, they will not stand except like the standing of a person beaten by shaitan, leading him to insanity, right? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning one of the punishments of those who do this kind of injustice, something that harms the poor and makes the rich richer and the poor more poor. In fact, the deen, our religion, encourages us to look after the poor, and so take from the rich and give to the poor, right? Take from the rich and give to the poor. So in this example here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that when a person eats riba, as in they consume it, they take it, they use it, they earn it, right? They spend it and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will not stand on the day of judgment except like the standing of a person who's beaten by shaitan, leading him to insanity. Like you're going crazy, right? You know, you wake up in the morning and like your head is pounding and everything is wrong and you're like, I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? That is like the example of the person who is raised on that day, feeling as though, you know, they're going insane. To pause there for a second, I know some people in this world right now who actually use this example for how they feel taking a loan. I have this loan, this interest loan, and I feel really, really bad, right? They say they feel really bad, you know, about it. And it's very hard and difficult for them to sleep at night. Why? Because they have conscious, you know, reminder in the back of their heads, always telling them, you know, you took riba, you took interest, you're dealing with interest for whatever it is, whether it's something with work or some investment or buying a house or something of that sort. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us the dangers of actually dealing with riba, dealing with interest. Okay? He then says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَا وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. That's because they say trading is only like riba. They're like, you know, buying and selling. It's just typical trade. It's the same thing. They're basically saying that it is similar. Right? So why would Allah allow you, you know, to sell, buy and sell and not allow you to deal with interest? So those who disbelieve, they're actually, you know, they use this and say, especially at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would say, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. That bay'ah, selling, buying and selling, it's just like interest. It's just like riba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَحَلَّ riba, interest. So Allah clears up for us as human beings. He clarifies for us. He says, you know what? You are not allowed to use the riba interest, but you are allowed to buy and sell. Now, there might be some children watching and they're confused. They're like, we don't understand. What is this riba? What is interest? I don't get it, right? Ask your parents. Your parents will say, simple. If I say that this is worth $10, okay, let's just actually, you know what? Let me use money. I should have some money. Okay, here's a good example. So, you come to me and you ask to borrow $5, okay? You ask to borrow $5 from me. And I say, okay, I will lend you $5. How long are you going to take to pay me back? And you say, you know what, it's going to take me a month. I'll pay you back in a month. And I say, sure, no problem. I'll lend you the $5. Here you go. You take the $5. And I want you to pay me back in a month $20. You're like, but that's not fair. You're lending me $5. You're not lending me $20. And I say, yeah, but you know what? You need this now. Right now you need $5. So I'm lending you $5 because you need it, right? If you want more, I mean, I could lend you $20 and then you'll pay me back $50 at the end of the month. So the person is like, that doesn't make any sense. It's not fair. If I borrow $5, I should back $5. I shouldn't have to pay you back $20. That's not right. I only borrow $5 from you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, you know, taking extra amounts from people is something that is not permitted. It puts them in a very difficult situation. Why? If you think of it as $5, it's easy. You're like, yeah, I could pay back $20. It's not a big deal. I'll have $20 by the end of the month. But if you're borrowing $100,000 or $50,000 or $20,000 or $1,000, then that is a larger amount. Imagine if $5,000 turns into $20,000. You now have to pay back $20,000. Where are you going to get that from? You're going to work for like a year or two to pay it back. In that year, you're going to have a different bill to pay back. So my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes how hard it is for someone who is struggling, who has a little bit, and they're being taken advantage of by people who have money sitting around and they're looking to share it or to invest it in different ways. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to do trade, right? To buy and sell. If you have $5 and you need $20, for example, by the end of the month, what you should do is take the $5, buy something, sell it, make $8. Take the $8, buy something else, sell that, make $12. Take the $12, go and buy something else, make $20 with it, and so on and so forth. That's investing, buying and selling, doing something with your wealth that gives you back more in return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes how hard it is for human beings, and He encourages us to take from the rich and give to the poor. And this is why we just finished learning the chapters or the verses about sadaqah, the importance of giving in sadaqah, the importance of giving zakah as well. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to, if we are able to share our wealth with others, then we should share a percentage of it, a small amount. Because if collect, everyone has food, everyone has what they need. But when we don't share with everyone, then there are people who don't have. And what happens there is it disrupts all society. I'll give you a simple example. My brother is actually on his way back from Los Angeles, right? He's back from Los Angeles, actually, alhamdulillah. And he was there. He decided to leave Los Angeles because it was extremely difficult. There was no food. Medical assistance was really, really bad at this point in time because of coronavirus and everything that's going on in the world. So what he decided to do was, you know what? Need to head back as quick as possible. So he came back, right? And he was saying that the situation is so bad that people don't have things. And what happens is, you know, a governor, I think it was yesterday or this morning, he sent out a letter asking Donald Trump, you know, the president of the United States, to send over one of the U.S. Navy ships, which is like a hospital, to dock in Los Angeles in order to help the people who are in need, those that have, you know, medical needs. And so my brother was saying, when it gets really, really bad out there and there's no food and there's no medical assistance, people are going to start rioting. They're going to go crazy and things will get really, really bad, which is why he decided, you know what, it's better to get out of there before things get even worse. So I'll use that as an example because we noticed that if all of us as human beings were not consuming as much as or if we weren't purchasing as much as people are purchasing right now because they're so worried, then things would be somewhat stable. So if everyone bought what they needed for 2 weeks, for example, not for more than that, just buy for 2 weeks. That's what we've been advised to do. Buy enough to last for 2 weeks. And typically when we go and do groceries, we usually buy an amount that would last us probably about 2 weeks, like a week or two, right? And, you know, what we've seen happening is people buying so much that it ends up disrupting the rest of society. People are struggling. And that's exactly one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to do. He discourages us from dealing with riba, from giving amounts to people and expecting even more in return because it disrupts society. It harms society. It makes people borrow and borrow and borrow and keep taking more in order to try and pay off a small amount. Those of us who have been in that situation know very well how difficult it is to pay an amount back when you don't have that amount of money to begin with. And so my brothers and sisters, Here is an example from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الْرِبَىٰ وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَىٰ. They say that, you know what, buying and selling trade is the same as taking interest. There's no difference. Allah says, no. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَىٰ. Allah has made bayr, has made trading, buying and selling, halal and permissible, and he made interest, taking something extra from others, haram, impermissible, not allowed. Okay? فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so whoever receives an admonition from his Lord and stops eating riba, whoever receives a warning from Allah and stops doing that, stops taking advantage of others, stops, you know, doing with interest back and forth in a way that's impermissible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there shall not be a punishment for those who did that in the past. Those who were dealing with interest in the past, now that we know that it is not permissible, stop it immediately. Try to clear yourselves of it, get out of it as best and as quickly as you possibly can. Get yourself out of, you know, the interest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْتَهَا فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He says, there shall not be punishment for the past. What people past, his case is for Allah. As in, that is between Allah and that person. We leave it. Don't judge the person. You know, don't, you know, get in the middle of discussing and disputing with people. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And look at what the next thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse. He says, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا سَلَفْ. Allah has forgiven what is past. After Allah says it, that's between me and my Lord, right? That's between you and your Lord. Whatever you did in the past, stop it right now and leave it. That's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever happened in the past is gone. Just don't do it anymore. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا سَلَفْ. He says, Allah has forgiven what is in the past. It's done with. Allah has forgiven us, right? So my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always gives us hope. He always gives us hope. He's always trying to encourage us to do what is best and what is right. And he gives us hope at a time when we think, you know what, I'm stuck with it. Like I'm completely stuck and locked in. How am I going to get myself out of it? How am I going to stop this? Try. Begin by making the intention to come out of dealing with what Allah has deemed haram. And you will see, Allah will make it easy. He says that, you know what, what's in the past is in the past. And then he says, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا سَلَفْ. Allah has forgiven what has passed. Remember, my brothers and sisters, when the Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca, when he entered Mecca and he conquered Mecca, he says to the people, all cases of riba. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressing the people of Mecca. This is of riba during the time of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic time, is annulled under my feet, right? As in it's gone. It's in the past. It's over with. Anyone who was in the time of Jahiliyyah, the time of ignorance, dealing with riba, dealing with interest, it's gone with. It's done with. Don't worry about it. Then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the first riba I annulled is the riba of Al-Abbas, who is uncle of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So he acknowledges and he gives an example of how his interest, his dealing in ways that are haram, khalas, it's done with. It's in the past, it's finished. And if his is finished, and his was so much, then imagine what it is for us, right? If Allah is able to do something for someone else, then imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do for every single one of us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever returns to it, whoever goes back to dealing with riba after gaining knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ النَّارُ. Then those are the people of Jahannam, the people of hellfire, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Right? They will abide therein forever. We ask Allah to save us and protect us all. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who give up the things that are haram, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with, and who constantly strive to have what is best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at a hadith, which is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as Sahih Muslim, from An-Nu'man ibn Bishr. An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, who said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّن وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّن وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. This is an important hadith, my brothers and sisters, and I've explained this hadith, you know, a number of times in the past, and I'll go over it now as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّن وَالْحَرَامُ بَيِّن. Both the lawful, what is halal, is clear and evident, and the haram is clear and evident. What is halal in Islam and what is haram in Islam, Allah has made very clear for us. There is no disputing in it, right? There's no dispute in what Allah has made halal and what Allah has made haram. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. And between halal and between haram, there are matters and things that are not clear. Mushtabihat. It's not clear. You can't, you know, you could figure it out. You can try. You could do a little bit of, you know, exercise with your brain and with your knowledge and so on and trying to put pieces together. But it's not completely clear. Like, is it permissible to do this? Is it permissible to do that? Is it halal? Is it haram? Things that we see, okay, this is completely clear as halal. This is completely clear as haram. But what about this thing, right? We don't know. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, between halal and haram, what's clear, all of this in the middle is not clear, right? It's unclear. He then says, وسلم, so whoever saves himself from these unclear matters, he saves his religion and his honor. So whoever is going to stay away from the things that are unclear, things that we are uncertain of, right? You're not completely certain. You're not 100% sure. Is this halal or is it haram? You go to the store and you buy a drink. You're like, you're looking at the ingredients. You're like, I don't know. Is this completely halal or is it haram? Is there something in it that's permissible or impermissible? Or, you know, you see something else and you're thinking to yourself, should I buy this or not? Yesterday, a brother messaged me. You know, the stock market is really, really low right now, right? The markets are low. So he messages me and he's like, what about this stock? And what about that stock? What about, you know, this company? Can I invest in this company? And he's like, but look, I noticed that it's not 100% permissible to invest in this company. I'm like, you know what, bro, I just don't have time right now to be explaining to you all the different indexes that are out there and the differences between them and what's halal and what's haram. I don't have the time to do it. But there are people out there that are doing it. There's a halal index. You can go and look at it. So he wasn't certain. He wasn't sure. I said, you know, it's better just avoid it if you can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that halal is clear. Haram is clear. Between the two, we're going to be unclear about it, right? Why? Because life goes on. There's many things that are introduced. Is it halal to wear a watch? Is it halal to wear a watch that has, I don't know, the adhan on it? And then the adhan is called while you're using the bathroom. Or there's Quran recitation on it. Can you take it into the bathroom? Can you take your phone into the bathroom? Can you, for example, you're praying salah and you're reciting Quran off of your phone. Like the imam during Taraweeh is reciting Quran off of his phone in Taraweeh, not in the compulsory prayer. Is that halal? Is it haram? Is it permissible? Is it impermissible? There are things in the middle that we're not too sure of, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continues to say, he says, whoever saves them both from the things that are unclear, then they have protected, they've saved their religion and saved their honor. They try their best to stay away from the things that are unclear. You know, I don't need it. I'm not sure of it. You just stay away from it, right? He then says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever indulges in these unclear matters, he will have fallen into the prohibitions. Just like a shepherd who grazes his animals near a private pasture, at any moment he is liable to enter into it. So, for example, what should we use? What should we use? I need something to use as an example. I my mushaf, that's the closest thing to me right now. Okay. All right, so this is the pasture, okay? So this is the private property, private land. The shepherd brings his sheep to eat from the grass over here, and the sheep are eating over here. Eventually, one of the sheep will cross into it and eat from somewhere within this private property. And that's haram, right? That doesn't belong to you. It's not public property. It's not permissible for you to eat from that land. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us, stay away from things that are unclear, because eventually we might step into it. Eventually we might cross a boundary and do something that is haram. And I used to use this example when I talk about beatboxing. Like, you know, when you're beatboxing, right? People doing crazy sounds with their mouth. I don't want to go all out. Mashallah, it's a lot easier when you have a microphone. You could, right? You can do things differently. But when you're beatboxing, is it something that's haram? No, it's not haram. Is it something that's halal? I don't know. Where do I see that it is halal? Like, do I have to have evidence to prove to show halal? So it's something that's permissible, right? It falls in the middle. I don't know if it's completely haram. I don't know if it's completely halal. But, you know, hey, whatever. Now what we see is a lot of, you know, Muslim artists taking the beatboxing to the next level, right? And so there's like, you know, sounds and tunes, and it's like they did, and it's like going crazy. It sounds almost 100% like music. Is it music? Is it not music? It's hard to say, right? And so that's like an area where it's gray, right? You're in the gray area. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not completely and entirely certain. But hey, you know what? It's not haram. It's not halal. So it's permissible. Eventually, if we keep doing things like that, eventually we might fall into something that is not permissible. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to stay away from it. Okay. On inshallah ta'ala. Again, another hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Da' leave off. Da' ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Da' ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk." Right? Leave that which makes doubt for that that doesn't give you any doubt. So if you are uncertain about something, then avoid it. And go and use or buy or do the thing that you are sure is, you know, halal for you. There's no doubt in it. You know what? This is permissible. Alhamdulillah. Take it, buy it, use it, consume it. Alhamdulillah. You have no worries, right? No stress. Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. Right? Let's move on to the next verse. The next two verses, we'll go through them fairly quickly, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْحَكُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will destroy riba and will give increase for sadaqat. And Allah likes the disbelievers, those who disobey Him and commit sins, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in the Quran, Allah is saying this, right, to us as human beings. We take what He says to us and we try to implement as best as possible. He states that He destroys riba. Yamhaqullahu riba. Allah will destroy riba. Permissible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys it. How? Either by removing that wealth or that money from those who consume it, for those who take it and use it, or He will deprive them of blessings in the money they already have, and there will be no benefit for them. Right? So they might have wealth. That is halal. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He increases, right, in sadaqat. Those of us who wards in this life and increases for us in this life as well as in the hereafter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. And Allah does not like those who disobey Him, who disbelieve in what He has to say and what He is advising us in our lives, commit sins. Now, last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 270 of Surah Al-Baqarah, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزكاة لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he concludes this part by saying, truly those who believe, right? Those who believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated and what he's come with, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran. He says, those who believe and do good righteous deeds, right? We do good righteous deeds. الَّذِينَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. We do good righteous deeds. We are helpful to others. Look, we're going through a time people need things. Yes, my wife was asking me, you know, buy this, buy that, buy these things. A few, you know, sisters that she know that she knows were in need of a few items. And I was out at the store and she said, buy these things. I'm like, I'm going to be driving for a few hours dropping these things off, right? And so I ended up going from house to house to house dropping some things off. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They do good deeds, right? Do whatever you see that is good. Help each other. It's a time of need. It's around each other. Go and help one another from a distance. If you have something that someone is in need, go and drop it off in front of their door and come home. And then later on, they can open their door and take it and, you know, clean it properly. Use it, right? If they need it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, those who وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Those who establish their prayers, right? They perform their prayers. My brothers and sisters, don't miss out on your salah. It is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about. Children, if you're at home and you're not praying your salah on time, this is the time to practice, right? This is the time to practice. You're at home, you don't have school, you can pray dhuhr. You know what? There's no excuse. You can't say, oh, my dad's going to drag me out to the masjid. He's not going to drag you out to the masjid. The masjid's closed, right? There's no congregational prayers taking place in our masjid. And so, you know, there's no excuse. Wake up early in the morning, pray your salatul fajr, and then guess what? There's no school, right? There's no school. You can pray your salah. You can get in the practicing, learning how to pray salah. Get up, make wudu, you know, pray your salah, and then go right back to sleep if you want afterwards. It's super easy. So this, those who give their zakah, right? Make sure that you help others, brothers and sisters. This is the time, right? Not only that, you know, when we're talking about sadaqat and we're talking about charity, make sure you help your masjid, right? We were talking about it earlier that the masajid are in need. For those of you that are here in Milton, you know, you can help out our masjid. Go to iknamilton.com, I-C-N-A, Milton, M-I-L-T-O-N.com. In the right corner on the top of the webpage, you'll see a donate button. Click there and donate. You'll get a tax receipt, inshallah. Okay? Donate to the masjid because our masajid are empty. Your community, wherever your local masjid is, if you're at Falah, if you're at another masjid, if you're at Isna, if you're in the GTA somewhere, or in Markham, wherever you are around the world, if you're in Australia, if you're in Malaysia, if, you know, you're in a different country and there's no funding coming to the masajid, remember, this is your time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging you before he tells you about goodness. He's reminding us to give our sadaqah, right? Pay it out. Give it now. Now's the time. Take care of the masjid. Why? Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Their ajr, their reward, they will have a reward with their Lord. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Don't worry. If your reward for giving a sadaqah, if your reward for doing good deeds, if your reward for praying your salah is in being safe and not being affected by the coronavirus, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Right? If it means that I will pray my salah, Ya Rabbi, oh Lord, I'm going to pray my salah, Ya Rabbi, I'm a believer, Ya Rabbi, I'm giving sadaqah, Ya Rabbi, oh my Lord, I am also, you know, doing good deeds and helping people, you promised me in your Quran, in your book, in verse number 227, that you will give an ajr, a great reward. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. You will give us a reward, O Allah. Every one of us right now should be asking Allah, O Allah, I have done these things and I do these things and I will continue to do these things. Save me and protect us from this coronavirus. Save me and protect me and my family from losing a cure, and grant us ease and grant us a way out. Ya Rabbi, we as believers are begging and asking from you, save and protect us. We are standing as sure that you shower your blessings and mercy upon us, because you promised us in the Quran. You shower your blessings and mercy upon us because you promised us in the Quran. Those of us who do this, you will give us a reward from you, from no one else, only from you. And who can save us and protect us from coronavirus? No one. No one. Allah. No one can save us. No one can protect us. At this point in time, there's nothing. Allah has not given it to us yet. It's there. It's available. How do we know it's available? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, for every single to find things out, to be able to figure things out. Okay. However, the cure is there, and inshallah, bi-idhnillah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, He's not finished. He's not finished blessing us. He says, lahum ajruhum 'inda rabbihim. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on those people there shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Allah will take care of things, my brothers and sisters. What is meant here by no fear? Look, you won't have anxiety. You won't be worried about what's going on. We are worried. Human beings are worried. Don't worry. Don't worry. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What comes, comes with khair, even if it is shar. What comes of goodness is even if it is bad, right? What comes to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's hard and difficult is goodness for us as human beings. Why? Look at how many of us have turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us would be at home streaming live and watching and learning? How many of us would be so worried about not being able to go for salat in the masjid? How many of us would, you know, be concerned about our masajid not having the finances that they need? How many of us would be concerned about our neighbors? Well, we don't care. We get up in the morning, we go to work, we come home. We're so self-centered, we're focusing on ourselves. Now we've opened our hearts to the world. We've opened ourselves to the world. We're thinking, you know what, I'm at home, but if I can get something for my neighbor, if I could do something for my neighbor, alhamdulillah, we try and make an arrangement. We create systems are put in place. Human beings are amazing people. Amazing people. We're able to like fulfill certain things that we never thought we would be able to do. But in a time where we're feeling the crunch, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to figure things out. He says, لا خوف عليهم. You won't be scared. There will be no anxiety. There will be no fear. There will be no hardship upon us, my brothers and sisters. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Right? And you won't grieve. You won't be scared of getting through this, and you won't feel sad. You won't feel depressed. So my brothers and sisters, believe in Allah. Give sadaqah. Do good deeds. Something about brothers and sisters. With regards to salah, you know, some of us feel we are distant from, we don't pray, so Allah is not going to help us. That's not true. If you give a little to Allah, Allah will give you so much more in return. So if you're not someone who prays regularly right now, start by praying one prayer. Just start with one. It's time for Isha now. Start with one prayer. Right? Pray daily basis. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you to pray and pray tomorrow and the day after. And then once you've established a regular routine, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, make it easy for me to pray two times a day. And then increase to two. And then over some time, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, make it easy for me to increase in praying three times a day. And Allah will make it easy for you to pray three times a day. Never despair. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the abilities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-qawi. Allah has the strength to give us strength. He has the ability to give us the strength that we need in our lives. So my brothers and sisters, believe. Establish. establish prayer, do good deeds, give your zakat, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward that is from Him. No one else can give us that reward. And He will bless us with the lack of fear. We won't anything. We won't be scared. And we will not grieve. We will not be sad. We will not be depressed. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa barakallahu feekum. Wa suffice today, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Forgive me for any mistakes that I may have made, my brothers and sisters. Forgive me for the ICCM Facebook page. I don't know why, but for some reason it froze and then the live stream stopped, but I restarted it again. So alhamdulillah, hopefully you're on there. For those that are here on my Facebook, I cannot see your comments for some reason. I just cannot see the comments. And for those of you that are on YouTube and Instagram, jazakumullahu khairan for coming out. I think this was the largest amount of people that we have so far. I have multiple families joining in from different places, and this is absolutely amazing. See, just as a reminder, I'm doing this every single day. Not this Friday, the Friday night family halaqa is done every Friday night after Salat al-Maghrib at this point in time. However, I am live streaming every day in the evening from 6 o'clock until 6:30, where we study Al-Adab al-Mufrad. We're going through some hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, good manners and morals and values. And also from 7 o'clock until 7:30, live Quran recitation on Instagram. So anyone who has Instagram, through my Instagram account, you can come on there and I recite a few verses of the Quran, and then you can share your screen and recite a few verses of the Quran as well. And it's really good for the children. A lot of children have contributed as well and come on and recited Quran from all over the world. So please do take advantage of that. Wow, I see that we have Mike, Counselor Mike Pluitt on here. It's an honor to have you with us, Counselor, and we want to thank you for all the hard work that you're doing to help us here in Milton and in the Halton region. You guys are working around the clock tirelessly, and we extend our hand to all of you virtually, right? And from a distance, right? We extend our hand to help. So if there's anything that you need, Counselor Mike or any of the other counselors here in Milton, please do feel free to reach out to us. We are always available to help out in whatever capacity that we can, and never, ever feel shy to do that. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. And to everyone else, as I was saying, 6 o'clock in the evening, Toronto time, is when I will stream live and learn hadith, which are morals and values from the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And also from 7 o'clock till 7:30 every single evening, on Friday nights, is I give out candy to everyone. And I have not forgotten to give you candies on Friday night. I have loads of candies here. I can't give them to you. So I'm going to eat all of this myself. And I will let you know how tasty it was, alhamdulillah. Usually, I'm sharing candies with you. Today, you could be sharing candies with us. And if that's my daughter opening the door, she can come in and get some candy on behalf of everyone else, inshallah, right? Like she's standing there. Coming to Ali. Here, bismillah. Say salamu alaikum.
Salam.
Say salamu alaikum.
Salamu alaikum.
Good, alhamdulillah. Allah yubarak fiik, jazakumullahu khairan. We'll see all of you soon. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. If anyone has any questions, I will keep the ICCM live running, as well as my Instagram. We'll take a few questions, inshallah, there. And we'll conclude.